Welcome to another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me. It's Saturday at 1 o'clock, and my head is filled with a million things that I need to put on my to-do list, and quite frankly, even putting those things on my to-do list is stressing me out. But finally, what happened is I said to myself, forget the to-do list at the moment, just do one of the things. And one of the things is this program. In the last several episodes, I've been also expressing the contradiction within me of claiming that I am a Catholic, follower of Christ, as he carried the cross, carrying my own much smaller one, while behaving interiorly and sometimes exteriorly as if I have no concept of this centrality of my profession of faith. He suffered, he died, and he was buried for me. He rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven. He will judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. And I know that I will partake in that. That's the roadmap, which, despite my best, albeit weak intentions, the smallest thing and its concomitant fear cause me simply to stop following, or so it seems. Cause me? No, they cause nothing. I simply collapse. A friend of mine asked me to do a program on the spiritual battle, and I just realized I've been doing programs in the last several weeks on the spiritual battle, and it brought to mind Paul from Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 15. For I do not understand what I do, for it is not what I wish that I do, but what I hate that I do. But if I do what I do not wish, I admit that the law is good. Now therefore it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, no good dwells, because to wish is within my power, but I do not find the strength to accomplish what is good. For I do not the good that I wish, but the evil that I do not wish that I perform. Now, if I do what I do not wish, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. Therefore, when I wish to do good, I discover this law, namely, that evil is at hand for me. For I am delighted with the law of God according to the inner man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and making me prisoner to the law of sin that is in my members. And there you have it, the spiritual battle, every single moment of every single day. When I went to confession last, which was last week, I told him about my recent paroxysms of private cursing over pressure I was feeling, as I noted at the same time, and made him laugh, of objecting to my little sufferings and demanding effectively that they be removed, while being aware that as a Catholic, I fully know and profess to profess about the following Christ that made my lamentations ridiculous. I said to him, you know, I realize when I'm doing these things that I'm a Catholic and I've got this following Christ thing I'm supposed to be doing. He laughed. He said, I'd like to use that following Christ thing, because that's what it's all about. Following Christ toward eternity, toward paradise. But then that little battle within each of us gets in the way. Inevitably, I have to fight my way back. That suffering has been inevitable since the dawn of time. But suffering was given a new face, a new meaning, a purpose, all because Christ came and stood at the head of the line behind which I should be following. Though, as God, he didn't have to slightly do any of this. He had no obligation to do it. And then he led the way to his eternal life by taking on the suffering that we caused ourselves. So I know you have to do this suffering anyway, right? Why not do it for the glory of God as he did? Not merely enduring, complaining while I'm enduring, but enduring as a form of molding and sculpting our very, very souls. What must I do with his grace? I must persevere. And perseverance is precisely the problem or the challenge. I found myself this week looking for a psalm that spoke to me directly about what's been going on in my gut, if you will. And I ran across several, but one that sort of speaks to me, and that's Psalm 70, that is a prayer for perseverance. In thee, O Lord, I have hoped. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy justice and rescue me. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. Be thou unto me a God, a protector, and a place of strength, that thou mayest make me safe, for thou art my firmament and my refuge. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the sinner, and out of the hand of the transgressor of the law and of the unjust, for thou art my patience, O Lord, my hope, O Lord, from my youth. By thee have I been confirmed from the womb, from my mother's womb, thou art my protector. Of thee shall I continually sing. I am become unto many as a wonder, but thou art a strong helper. Let my mouth be filled with praise, that I may sing thy glory, thy greatness all day long. Cast me not off in the time of old age, when my strength shall fail. Do not thou forsake me, for my enemies have spoken against me, and they that watched me have consulted together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not thou far from me. O my God, make haste to my help. Let them be confounded and come to nothing that detract my soul. Let them be covered with confusion and shame that seek my hurt. But I will always hope and will add to all thy praise. My mouth shall show forth thy justice, thy salvation all the day long, because I have not known learning. I will enter into the powers of the Lord. O Lord, I will be mindful of thy justice alone. Thou hast taught me, O God, from my youth. Until now I will declare thy wonderful works. And unto old age and gray hairs, O God, forsake me not, until I show forth thy arm to all the generation that is to come. The power and thy justice, O God, even to the highest great things thou hast done, O God, who is like to that. How great troubles hast thou shown me, many and grievous, and turning thou hast brought me to life, and hast brought me back again from the depths of the earth. Thou hast multiplied thy magnificence, and turning to me thou hast comforted me. For I will also confess to thee thy truth with the instruments of psaltery. O God, I will sing to thee with the harp, the Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I shall sing to thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Yea, and my tongue shall meditate on thy justice all the day, when they shall be confounded and put to shame that seek evils to me. Here's the thing. I realize that I don't do a whole lot of singing praise to the Lord in my confusion, and that is the challenge. In order to, what's the word, to take on the spiritual battle. That's what happens. I stop looking to him. I go inward. I go to the things that I think I can control. I make my lists. I go over them. I try to accommodate to them. But somehow or another, I leave him out. And for me, I can't speak for others, it's like this block. It's not even, to me, intentional. Maybe God would think otherwise. To me, it's a reflexive fear to rely on him. Because I think, though I might say and even pray that I ask the Lord to give me strength in my suffering, what I really, really want and am like stamping my feet in a way, philosophically, theologically, is that I want him to simply take away that which I know can't be taken away because of the sin of man, and that the only solution is in how I respond. And so far, my responses tend to be the same, becoming distant from him. I become distant from him. I can't see him because I'm blinded by my fear, by my anxiety. I don't know if any of this is speaking to any of you. I can't imagine it wouldn't be, because we all suffer from the same effects of sin. How those effects manifest may be slightly different for each of us and may be more dramatic for some of us. I hadn't had spiritual direction in about 2 months. Part of that was that normally I do it once a month, but also I was away in New York and there were all these things happening that needed to be taken care of, and I had to postpone it for another month, or so I thought I had to. So when spiritual direction was coming up for this past Friday, my thought, given my mood, was, I don't really want to do this. I have no desire to do this. What's the point? I can't pull out of this maelstrom that I feel myself to be in. The reasons don't matter. We all have our reasons. We all have our circumstances. I didn't want it to turn into some kind of therapy session. That's not what spiritual direction is. It's not that your circumstances aren't considered. It's just that it's not about complaining about what's going on in your life and looking for solutions in some sort of psychological milieu. That's the focus of therapy. It's not the focus of spiritual direction. They overlap some, but it's not the idea to go, oh, this is what happened to me and what should I do about it? So I thought, well, if all I'm going to do is complain, then what a waste of time and what an intrusion on my spiritual director. But I'm telling you, and you know, there are no accidents. God does speak to us in ways that should keep us on the narrow road, but seem not to. So he has to constantly say, I am speaking to you. I am here. Pay attention. So right before my spiritual direction, I was making a cup of coffee and I was looking out my kitchen window, and there was this really fat hummingbird sitting on the tip of a branch of my FICA tree, my little FICA tree. And I looked at that little fat hummingbird, who seemed to be looking back at me, and I sort of found myself praying to God through the intercession of this or that person that I looked to, and saying, I need some kind of relief, Lord. I'm weak. I can't take ordinary things. What can I tell you? And then I took my cup of coffee and I had my spiritual direction, which I do by telephone. And other than to answer the question about my last couple of months and say that they've been challenging, without anything more, my spiritual director told me about a series of resources that she had run across in her last couple of months that she said, as a general matter, she was bringing to her directees, and, you know, maybe I should pray on it and see if any of it made any sense to me or was of any use to me. And here's the thing, every single thing she said spoke directly to the challenge that I was having, or the challenges that I am having. I started to cry silently, I hope. It was a divine lifeline. I was honest with my spiritual director that the last couple of months in prayer had been pretty miserable. I had gone off any kind of idea of a holy hour. I had done some praying. I had done a rosary. I had gone to Mass. But it was as if I was dragging myself to do that which was good for my soul. And she reminded me of a book that I had begun to read before I went away, called Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement, The Wisdom and Spiritual Power of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, which is commented on by Father Timothy Gallagher, who is known for the Ignatius Exercises and also for the discernment of spirits in trying to have a spiritual life, and the challenges thereof, and the ways to be aware of when your spiritual life is being challenged and what to do about it. And therein for me lies the problem. What to do about it when it happens. Therein lies the problem for you. It just happened that the book was in my desk right in front of me where I was speaking to my spiritual director. And as she reminded me of it, I pulled it open to the last page that I had read, which was page 82. Bruno Lanteri had been writing to a woman with a family and was trying to give her guidance. And he wrote to her, "I have noticed in your letters that you often turn in on yourself. Try to watch for this and to focus less often on yourself, but to serve God with great simplicity. Instead of turning in on yourself, lift your gaze often with peace and love to God, to his lovable will, to his adorable providence. Tell him that regardless of whether you do well or poorly, you want to be totally his, and that it is his to make you become better. Cast also upon him all your concerns about your children and your husband. The more you trust in him, the greater will be his care for you." Father Gallagher follows, "Do you find yourself turning inward, preoccupied by your anxieties and burdened by your failings?" Oh, yeah. Don't you? I bet you do. And it is a losing proposition. "Instead of turning in on yourself," goes on Father Gallagher, "lift your gaze often with peace and love to God." Often, with peace, with love. "The less you focus on your failures and the more you gaze on the Lord with peace and love, the more your heart will lift, the stronger you will become, the more joy you will find. Tell him that you want to be totally his, and with boldness, tell him that it is his to make you become better." Now, I hear the objection because I have it myself. Yeah, easy to say, lift your gaze to God, but not easy to do. And you know what? You're absolutely right. And I'm warring with that in my spiritual battle. But here's the thing. If you do it first, then maybe at some point it will also have this emotional connection, that peace that you're seeking by doing it, by lifting your gaze to God, will also have a reciprocal effect in terms of your commitment to your life, your recognitions of the endurance and the meaning of the endurance of the suffering. And I say it as someone who has not yet achieved it. But what is our alternative? To simply give up? Because that sure is what it feels the most easy to do, the most logical in some ways. Just give up. And my spiritual director turned me back to a couple of pages, to page 74, and asked me to read it out loud. And here's the thing. Before she asked me, and I found the page, I had two big stars that I had written by the initial paragraph, and I had circled item 77 of what Bruno Lanteri said, and I had also written, "Please let me see it." So this is what she pointed me to and reminded me of. What is God asking you to carry now? What is happening to you now? What is favorable, unfavorable? Can you try to say with Venerable Bruno that all this is, quote, prepared for me by God as an occasion of gain? May he be ever praised. I desire to profit from it. And now quoting Lanteri himself, "Anxieties, temptations, aridity, heaviness of heart, tribulations, injuries, unpleasant situations, offenses, ingratitude, crosses, matters which do not go well, and sorrows of various kinds. I will expect all these, even from those I love and whom I have helped. But I will never consider these as evil, nor will I regard their origin in men, but rather in God. I know that nothing can take place against the will of God. I know that this is the way he himself followed here on earth, and through which he led the saints closest to him, even his very mother, so as to glorify her correspondingly in heaven. And so I will consider these as favors and opportunities that he gives me, so that I will need to ask his help, so that I will know my weakness and do penance for my sins. I will try to accept them, confident that this is the road he has laid out for me, that all is ordered for my good, and that my part is to seek to benefit from these situations. It's the ultimate form of reframing what you see in a way that reveals the ultimate truth. I'm not going to say it. This is easy. I haven't done it myself, but this is what we have to do if we're going to go to heaven. But I think the first thing is we have to want to be in heaven with God. As I said, there are no accidents, and even small things point you or sort of coalesce the things that you're dealing with. So just a little while ago, I was doing my usual scrolling through Facebook. So as I was scrolling through, I saw a little clip of the producer of The Chosen with the actor who plays Jesus, Jonathan Rumi, talking about a letter that they had received related to the third season finale of The Chosen, in which Jesus walks on water and Peter attempts to go towards him in the Sea of Galilee. And it was a long letter of a woman who has had been a woman of faith, not a Catholic, but a woman in ministry with her husband. And they had a series of absolutely abysmal events that challenged, as do each of us experience, as I've been experiencing, their faith, their very faith. They were, well, why am I suffering? So again, what about this following Christ thing? We kind of lose that thread as soon as something actually happens to us. A series of things makes it even harder to see. So at the end thereof, though, she talked about how a particular scene just sort of shifted everything in her. And that was the scene, again, where Jesus is walking on water. And Peter starts to walk on water when Jesus calls him, and then falls right in when he becomes afraid. It's the fear that makes him fall. And then Jesus literally plucks him out of the water and holds him, holds Peter to himself. And that's what we seek, Jesus holding us to himself, and our simply going forward, as Jesus did to his death, to his burial, to his resurrection, and to his glory. I've read this before, but when I was looking at that psalm and reading it to you, where the saying, God hath forsaken him, pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him, that's what we're feeling, and that's what we have to fight against with God's grace. And that is something else I've read that has to do with hoping when there is no hope. And that's the battle. That's the spiritual battle. The spiritual battle is against sin and against our hopelessness in the face of our sin. And the hope is Jesus Christ, who came to be one of us and then showed us the way. And that means it's a simple thing. Keep his eye on that, follow that, but everything else around us distracts us. So the key is with prayer and with spiritual reading and with spiritual direction, with hanging around people who are of like mind. The way out of the hole, the way to be embraced by Jesus, is to keep moving forward and be aware of all this spiritual discouragement. And you can't ignore it, but don't let it distract you away from the way, the truth, and the life. Will I be able to do it? I don't know, but let's pray for each other that we can do it with God's amazing grace. So I go off to make my final lists and then maybe go to a movie with a friend down the road. This day, I leave you to your spiritual direction. I leave you to your prayers. I leave you with my prayers for all of you and I ask you to pray for me that I not be discouraged, as too often happens.